I'm not getting anything. Let's see. Test 1, 2. Okay.
Don?
Go ahead.
I hereby give to the Buffalo Women's Oral History Project the tapes recorded on December 12, 1981 for such educational and scholarly uses and purposes as the directors Elizabeth Kennedy, Madeline Davis shall determine. I further consent to the transcription and publication of any and all of this interview as educational and scholarly work require. I have been assured that only my first name, Mary, will be employed in any use of these tapes. I understand that at some future date, the tapes will be housed in an archive chosen by the directors of the Buffalo Women's Oral History Project and will be available for public access, governed by the rules of the archive. I give consent that these tapes be made available for research purposes immediately after the date of the last interview.
Great. Now let's see if we came out on the tape.
Were there any
in the 40s, Ralph Martin?
What was that?
It was a Genesee near Ellicott, I think, in a bar called Winters.
I don't know who that was either. I've never heard of it. Winters? Where was that?
I think it was on Washington Street. I'm not sure. I have to go look it up.
Oh.
There were quite a few bars in the 40s. We didn't think there were hardly any.
Ralph Martin's.
Yeah.
Did that have another name, maybe Kitty Cat?
No. The Kitty Cat was a different bar. That
was
the
50s.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that Kitty Cat was in the 50s.
But we found that a lot of people who went to Ralph Martin's in the 40s, the same kind of crowd drifted into the Carousel in the 50s. It was that kind of bar. It was a mixed gay bar.
Yeah. Good Carousel was mostly women, though.
Yeah.
She was mostly women because she was gay. Carol.
Carol was gay?
Yeah, they owned the Carousel.
Oh, we didn't know.
Carol, what was her name? Carol, can't think of her last name. That's why they call her Carousel. Carol, she was gay. I can't think of her last name, though. Did anybody ever mention that?
I think somebody did, but we wouldn't use it in our tapes anyway, because we don't use anybody's last name. Even,
I don't know her last name, though.
We try to protect everybody. I mean, Ralph Martin's was called Ralph Martin's. That's why we use it, because that was the name of the bar.
But she might have died, though, Carol. That owned that bar.
I don't know whether anybody mentioned before that she was gay. I don't think so. And
yeah,
I never knew
it. I'm sure she was gay. I think so. Uh-huh. Because I think, you don't remember Jerry Campbell that used to work there? She's dead, too.
Yeah.
Jerry Campbell.
I vaguely remember Jerry Campbell.
Mm-hmm. What's her name? Carol Rose? I'm trying to think. It'll dawn on me. I bet you Marie would know, or Bobby, someday when we're talking. I'm going to ask Marie. She would know. Because Jerry Campbell used to work there in her... at the Carousel. She's dead now. Jerry Campbell.
Yeah.
She used to go with a blonde-haired Marge with the bleach blonde hair, a short girl. Slush bucket Marge. They used to
Why'd they call her that?
I don't know. Slush bucket Marge. Well, I think Black Bobby made up all these names for people.
Jacob. Yeah.
Black Bobby made up all those names. Yeah, mm-hmm. For people, I think.
That's funny.
Yeah, Jerry Campbell. I think Jerry Campbell and her used to... Jerry Campbell was going with somebody else, but I think she used to fool around with her, with Carol, too.
Was Jerry Campbell black, white?
White.
White.
She was white. She went with Slush Bucket Marge with black.
That's terrific.
When we do our interviews, we usually ask two questions at the beginning, well, three questions at the beginning to let you sort of think about the way we're organizing the interview. First of all, knowing that we're writing a book on the lesbian community and how things have developed over a long period of time, what do you think it's the most important, would be the most important thing to tell people? You know, if the public was going to be reading something about this, what should they know about gay life?
The most important? Well, I would say that there was, years ago, there was much more communication between the black gay people and the white gay people. Now they're more separated.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. Before, the black kids used to come to the white gay bars all the time, much more than they do now.
Well,
even like these black people used to have parties, you know, after the bars would close, mm-hmm. a lot of them would, even just for friends, not parties, but even friends, and a lot of white people used to go to their houses, you know, and mm-hmm. drink, and, you know, and they, a lot, some of them had paid parties, and some of them had free parties. Like, you did find some of the black people that were real friendly with white, and they'd say, well, come after the bar, come to my house, and we'll have some drinks, and, you know, and like that, you know, mm-hmm. just socialized. It was more of that now. It's everything separate. Mm-hmm. You don't see no white kids going to no black kid's house
mm-hmm.
no more. At least I don't know.
Why do you think that it was easier then? And what? When are we talking about? Are we talking about 50s?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Why do you think it was easier?
Easier then? I don't know. It seems like today the white kids are more in their own little group. Like they don't go outward. They're with their young crowd, and they don't seem to be friendly with older people. You know, they're with their young crowd, and they seem to want to stay with it. They don't want to reach out and, you know, and socialize with older people. Haven't you noticed that?
Well, I know that there's trouble with age differences, sure. But what about...
But there shouldn't be, because we always talk to the older... When I was out, well, I was in my 20s, but there used to be women that were a lot older than me, and we used to be friendly and talk to everybody,
mm-hmm.
you know, even though there was an age difference. But now it seems like when you go to the bar, all white kids that are younger, they all seem to hang in their own little group. You know, and even the young black kids that come,
yeah.
they don't even mix that much with them. They don't talk to them that much. Years ago, black kids would sit with the white kids. They were much more friendlier
uh-huh.
than they are now.
So it's not just age, because young black kids and young white kids don't
mix either. Uh-uh. So I don't see them mixing that much.
Yeah.
At least the last time I was there, when we got together, you know, that little group of older kids, I yeah. noticed that... there were some younger blacks came in, and they didn't seem too friendly, you know, with the whites, and the whites didn't seem friendly. They were more separate groups. Years ago, we used to dance with the black kids and everything. We'd sit with them. Mm-hmm.
You got any theories about why it was easier then and hard now? Even within the same age group?
Oh, Jesus, I don't know. I don't know why it's, I don't know, maybe just, maybe because things were harder years ago, you know, you had to be more friendly with other people.
That's a good theory. Sounds reasonable to me.
Yeah. Maybe things were harder, you know.
Uh-huh.
You know, times were harder, like everybody more or less had to work together. Black people worked just as hard as white people did. You know, I don't know, it could be that. Also, I know we were, because I know there was this one girl, her name was Ricky, she was from Lackawanna, she was a little black woman. She's a lot older than I was. She used to come in the bar at Bingo's, Maryland. She'd go one person to the other, she'd talk to them. Everybody would buy her a beer. She never had no money. But everybody liked her.
Uh-huh.
She'd come in, she'd kiss everybody. You know, she'd come right over. There you were sitting, she'd say hi. Whoever was friendly to her, mm. you know, she'd get you on the cheek, you know, and then somebody'd say you want a beer, you know, mm. so they'd buy her a beer. So then she'd sit and talk to you for a while. Then she'd go and talk to some more people. She'd go around the booths, or this was at Bingo's most of the time. And then she'd go to the booths, and then she'd go to the bar and talk to different ones. When she got low on a beer, they'd buy her beer, you know.
Uh-huh.
So she'd go. But everybody liked her, and nobody ever said nothing, because she never had no money. You know, mm-hmm. nobody ever said anything about her not having no money. You know, why should we buy her a beer? But she was just a likable person,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And she never had no money, but still people, the white kids would buy her a beer,
uh-huh.
you know, or a drink.
This Ricky, was she a butch or a femme?
Jesus, I don't know what she was. I think she was a butch.
You think she was a butch?
Uh-huh, I think she was a butch.
Do you think she was a butch because you can't, I mean, do you not know what she was because you can't remember, or because she didn't?
I really don't know who she was, who she went with, you know.
Uh-huh.
If she went with somebody, they didn't come out.
She was always a single.
By herself.
By herself.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
But I think she was a butch.
Yeah.
But now I seen her all about 10 years ago on the bus going downtown, but she didn't know who I was, so. But I mean, I don't know, it was just, to me it was the black kids and the white, they were more accepted more.
Mm-hmm.
Like today, they seem to stay in their own little groups.
Yeah. When you came out, when did you go to your first bar? I think it was 56?
In 57. I would say more 57 middle.
And what was that back? Bingo?
Bingo's, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This girl, these two girls I hung around with, we went to high school together.
Mm-hmm.
We were all gay, but we didn't know each other was gay.
Oh, you knew you were gay before you went to that gay
bar? Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, when did you first know you were gay?
Oh, when I was real young. I always liked girls since I was real young.
Do you remember when you first figured that out?
Oh, I must have been about 7 or 8 years old. I never liked men, you know, boys. Mm-hmm. We'd play house, this cute little girl down the street, I'd be the father and she'd be the mother. So, well, these other two girls, we went to high school together. Shorty and Dodie. I don't know if you know them, but if you talk to them, Shorty lives in Canada, so does Dodie. But they used to live around here. Shorty used to live on Leroy, and Dodie used to live on Delvin near Bailey. So we all knew one another. So Dodie says, she said, I'm going to take you down to this bar. She's the one that found out about it, where to go. So we went to Bingo. She took us to Bingo's, and we had a good time that night. Well, I met Black Jan first. Black Jan asked me to go home with her. So I went home with her, you know, so I wasn't, you know, I really didn't know what was what. So I wouldn't let her do nothing.
You hadn't had sex?
No.
And how old were you?
23. Well, I had had sex, but I had had sex with straight girls. And I was the butch, you know.
Oh, and you did all the work.
But I was really not involved that much with them,
yeah.
You know. This one girl that I liked, she worked it with me, so she stayed overnight with me one time, but we sort of got involved, but then apparently she didn't want to get involved with me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So she stopped seeing me after that. So I really hadn't met nobody. So anyhow, as I said, we went, Black Jan yeah. took me home. So I liked it, Black Jan, but she wanted to go right into that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to, you know. I wanted to get to know her and everything, you know. I could just jump right in the bed, you know, do nothing. So I wouldn't do nothing with her. So she says, well, I'll take you home. So she took me home. So she wouldn't do it. So after that, the next week, we go to the bar again. So she wouldn't even speak to me. You know, she wouldn't talk to me at all. So this other girl, like I told you, Shorty, she started liking Shorty. So Shorty went home with her, you know. And so Shorty went with her about a year or two, I guess, you know.
So was Black Jan a butch?
Black Jan was a butch, yeah.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And she pretty much stayed a butch.
Oh, yeah. Black Jan, I think, always stayed a butch.
Yeah. And Shorty was a femme?
Yeah, Shorty was a femme.
Uh-huh.
So then Shorty told me, she says that she was going with Black Jan, you know. So I felt kind of bad because I liked it, Black Jan, but I didn't want to get involved with her that way right away because I wanted to get to know her first, how she was, you know.
Did you know you were a butch then?
Well, to me, I don't know. It really goes both ways.
When were you with straight women, because they didn't know anything,
yeah,
then you were a butch with them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, but then over the years when you got with gay women, you were both.
Yeah, I really was both.
Uh-huh.
So I met, so Black Jan, I liked her, but I wanted to get to know her better, you know. So Shorty started going with Black Jan. So then, well, I says, well, the heck with this, you know. So then I seen Jerry Jones. She was a black girl, the singer, the entertainer.
Yeah, yeah.
So I says, oh, she's sharp, I like her, you know. So I seen her at the bar, and she came in with Ann Hubbard and a bunch of other gay kids. A lot of them are dead now. Trying to think of some of the girls she came in. Well, she used to come in with a lot of girls, so I liked her. So I asked her to dance. So we danced a couple of times, but she had just broken up with this white girl by the name of Vicky. Vicky was a prostitute from Chicago, an Italian girl. She was real pretty, Vicky was. So Jerry invited me to her house, you know. So she, no, that was on a Friday. So she says, are you coming out tomorrow night, Saturday? And I said, yeah. So she said, well, I'll meet you here. So I said, okay. So I met her on Saturday night. So she was with this other little girl, this other young girl, on Saturday night. So she came in, so then she asked me to go home with her, you know. So nothing happened when I went to her house. We just talked and everything and about different things in that. And so then I kept seeing Jerry, and we did get involved after a while. Just a short time, though. We didn't...
About how long?
Oh, I would say maybe about a year or so.
It's not too short a time.
Maybe a year, about a year. Mm. And then...
I'd like to ask a little bit about that relationship. And that is, when you were going with Jerry, were you the only woman that she was seeing at that time?
Oh, no, she was seeing other women, too.
How did you feel about that?
I didn't care as long as they weren't white.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. Oh. I didn't really care as long as they weren't white.
Uh-huh. Why?
Because I think if it would have been a white woman, I would have felt that she really was serious about them, you know, if it would have been somebody white. But I knew the black girl, she really wasn't too serious. She wasn't serious about them.
Uh-huh.
That was the same way with Eileen, too.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Were you seeing other people at the time, too? Did you ever go out with anybody else while you were here?
No. Hmm. Well, I had white friends that I knew, that I socialized with, you know.
But
I
didn't lovers.
No, I didn't go out with nobody else like that. But I know a couple of black girls, they liked me, you know. They were trying to get with me, too, while same time I was going with Jerry, but... You know, I only go one at a time.
Uh-huh.
I only liked it her. Uh-huh. Oh, she fascinated me, you know, the way she looked and the way she sang and everything.
What did she look like?
Oh, she had, she used to wear process, short hair,
yeah.
Dressed like a man. She used to wear suits, men's clothes all the time. And she used to spray her hair with a gray silver spray. And she used to wear one gold earring. She had pierced one earring. And, well, there was just something the way that she talked. She had a nice voice. I think that's what did her voice.
Uh-huh.
She had a nice speaking voice.
You were seductive.
Yeah. Uh-huh. She did have a good speaking voice.
Yeah.
Well, you must have heard about her before, huh?
Well, she's famous.
Yeah.
Sure. But I don't think that we've interviewed anybody who really went with her.
Oh, uh-huh.
No, I don't think any of the women we've talked to yet were really lovers with her for any length of time.
Yeah, I would say about a year.
Uh-huh.
But she was nice, you know, she never... I mean, a lot of people talking bad about her and everything, but she never did nothing to me, you know. She never asked me, like, some of those black girls were... prostituting in that, in giving her the money. But they did it on their own, you know. I mean, it was their choice.
Did she ever ask you about prostitution?
No.
Never?
She had a friend that used to come over and see her. A man friend, a white man, that used to come and see her.
And sleep with her for money?
Yeah, she's turned tricks with them. This white man.
Uh-huh.
Jim. Are you recording this?
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
Well, it's long past history.
And I can't say no last names.
No, don't. I erase them anyway.
Yeah. I erase them all.
Right. No, we don't want any last names.
Yeah, he liked her, this white man.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So she's turned tricks with him once in a while when she needed money.
Yeah. And you didn't feel any jealousy about the black women that she was involved with?
Mm-hmm. Just if she would have been with another white woman, I would have been jealous.
How'd you break up?
I don't know, really. She just, I don't know, we just weren't getting along real, real good. You know, her life was altogether different than mine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so entertaining and all that every night, and I had to go to work the next day, so... Really, I think it was right there. You know, she'd be up all night, and then, like, I couldn't stay up all night. I had to go to work the next day, so...
Did you live together?
Huh?
Did you live with her?
Well, you might as well say so. I used to stay with her, you know, every night, just about every night.
Where were you living? I mean, where was your home? And your parents were alive?
Yeah, uh-huh. My father was alive.
Oh, I see. So you essentially had your legal home with your father.
Yeah.
But you stayed with her all the time.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I was over there all the time.
We really did practically live together.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so, I don't know. It was, I guess, the difference in our lives. The way she lived and the way I lived, you know, a bit more or less. So she just called me one day and we were talking. She just said she wanted to break up. So I says, well, okay, you know, if you want to. So that's when we broke up. After that, so then she started going with black women, a couple other black women and that, and she joined the carnival, the James E. Straight Show, and I went to see her a couple times at the James E. Straight Show, and then, well, we talked in that. In fact, I drove her to where the train is that one night, but, you know, we just talked, and I don't know, we just didn't get involved no more after that. She left Buffalo with the James E. Straight Show, and I might have seen her once or twice when she visited Buffalo after that. But she's not with them no more.
Oh, I know.
I don't know where. Last I heard, she's in the islands off of the coast of Florida.
We've heard lots of stories about where she is. We've heard everything from she's out of town to she lives on the east side to, you know, we can't really track her down.
No, this girl told me that worked with me. A couple of years ago, last year, the year before, about 2 years ago, this girl worked with me, she's an older woman, she said that she seen her in the islands off the coast of, in the Bahamas, off the coast of Florida.
Was she still gay then?
I guess so, yeah.
So someone also said that they thought she might have gone straight and got married?
I don't think so. You know who would know? It'd be Ann, probably.
Uh-huh.
Ann Hubbard. She writes to her. I don't know. I don't know if she writes to her or not.
Maybe we could check and see. Because she's such a fascinating character.
Oh, yeah. Oh, she came back to Buffalo. She'd have a job in the gay bar. She'd have the gay bar. Because she was friendly with white people, too.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry was very friendly.
Yeah.
You know, with white people. I think that more or less, they more or less needed a sort of a leader, like, too, you know. Because Jerry would come in the bar, even the white people would talk to her, you know, go come over and talk to her. Because I told you, this just her way. She was very attractive, you know, she could attract your attention, you know. To me, she was, I don't know why, I guess she was to a lot of other people too. And they used to come go in the bars and see, watch her sing. A lot of white kids used to go watch her sing at the bar. Mandy's.
Donna Williams. When you were with her, did you go out to bars a lot, the two of you together?
Oh, yeah. I used to go wherever she was singing at. I used to be there a lot. you know, wherever she was singing. She used to sing at Mandy's, and she used to sing at the Zanzibar.
But those were straight places, weren't they?
Yeah.
Did you go to gay bars, too?
Oh, yeah. We went to the Bingos. Bingos in the Carousel.
Mm-hmm.
In Chesterfield.
Mm-hmm. How did people react to your going out with a black woman in the beginning? Did you ever have anybody?
I don't think some of them didn't like it too well.
What did they say to you?
Well, I think they mostly didn't like me go with Jerry because I guess they thought I was going to be a prostitute. You know, because she went so with so many girls that were drinking. You know.
So it was not just that she was black, it was also that she...
I think it was mostly because of the other reason.
Uh-huh. She's the first really long relationship you had then, of any length of time.
Well, she's the first really that I was really involved with, you know, woman.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Did she teach you about sex?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, she taught me quite a bit.
Uh-huh.
But I would really say that Eileen really... It taught me the most.
Was she the next person after Jerry?
No, I went with Jerry. After Jerry, I went with Eleanor from New York. She's down New York now, I think.
Oh, that's so familiar.
She used to go with Big Joanie. Remember Eleanor? Black
Eleanor? I believe so. Of course,
yeah.
I know Jerry.
I went with her for a while. Mm-hmm. About a year or two, maybe 2 years at the most. We lived together in there, but it was a bad, that was a horrible relationship. That was worse. Because she liked to fight. Eleanor was terrible. She liked to fight a lot.
Physically?
Yeah, physically. She liked to fight. And I don't know if it's because she drank a lot and didn't know what she was doing, or whether we were together and she really didn't want to be with me. You know, maybe she still wanted to be with Big Joanne.
Oh, she had broken up with Joanne and then what with you after?
Then she picked up with me. I liked her, you know, after I met her. But that was a bad relationship. We didn't get along good at all. So that lasted a couple of years. And then right after her, I met Eileen. But then Eileen and I got together. Well, me and Eileen was more like an on and off thing. For about 12 years or so.
Yeah, we
were a long time, together. Well, she went to Canada a few times. She was gone 2 or 3 years, and then I'd see her. She'd come back to Buffalo, and we'd get back together, and so.
With Eleanor, now I know that Big Joanne's a butch. Was Eleanor a femme?
Yeah, Eleanor's femme.
So you went from being... a family relationship.
Yeah.
Being the butch of the next relationship.
Yeah, right.
And then with Eileen.
Maybe I wasn't too good of a butch. Maybe that's why she didn't like me. You know, maybe that's why she didn't like me too much. And then with Eileen, we were mutual. We were both the same.
Oh.
With Eileen. She was butch and I was butch, and we both were involved together. It was both the same. That's the best relationship I ever had with a woman, was with Eileen.
Do you think that it was best because it was mutual?
And Eileen was a good person too. I think Eileen was really, really like me, you know. She's the only one I think that really ever liked me was Eileen.
Really cared.
Yeah. That really cared was Eileen. Jerry was, I would say, would be probably next. You know, Jared cared for me, but I think she more or less liked me as a person, you know, because we couldn't hit it off because of her life was different than mine.
Yeah.
You know, she was an entertainer, like I said, and she was up all night and at the taverns, and she'd meet different ones and all this and that. And, you know, and I had to go to work the next day. I worked in an office, so, you know, it was more or less our difference of our lives were different. But she was good and nice to me, you know. I didn't say nothing about her.
Uh-huh. If you came out in the 50s and you were a femme in one relationship and then a butch in another relationship, would you have been considered Kai Kai?
I don't know what I was considered. I don't know. I don't know what they said.
I mean, it certainly is a term that we know was used in the 50s. And
oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, what is that? Maybe you could explain what the term means, what Kai Kai means.
I don't know. I never heard
of it. Oh, you never heard it before? Oh, okay.
I never heard that before.
It meant, from what we've been told and from the little that I know, having come out, you know, having been in the community a little then, it meant people that didn't know who they were, didn't know which one they were. And
I never heard that before.
It seems like in a period earlier than that, there were women who were adjustable, and it was okay to be that way. But getting into the 50s, if you switched.
Yeah, a lot of girls didn't like it. A lot of girls didn't like it because I know some would start off real femme, and the minute they get hurt by a butch, the next time you'd see them, they were real butchy. They'd be dressed up real butchy.
Did they stay butchy then?
Uh-huh, I would say so.
That we know about. We know about women that came out femme and sort of learned about being gay. And then they became butch and stayed butch.
It was most of the time the butches made them. Either the butches broke up with them or somehow, and they started to get real butchy too, you know, instead of being feminine.
So you think maybe that going from femme to butch was a reaction to being hurt?
Maybe so, yeah. I would say so. I don't know if they think that butches are better. I don't, is it opinion? I don't know. You know, but it has been a big difference. To me, it's always, you should do the same that the woman you go with is the same as you are. Like it was with Eileen and I.
Yeah.
We were the same. You know, not one of us was any more butchier than the other one. We both did to one another what we did.
Yeah, right.
There was no big difference.
Uh-huh.
And that's the way I think it should be. To me, that's the way it should be.
Uh-huh.
Because I don't see why two girls can't get dressed up in women's clothes and go to a straight bar and still know they're with one another.
Huh.
I mean, I still can't, I don't see why women can't get dressed up together and go out together. It's just look like two straight women and nobody'd know no difference.
Yeah.
In fact, I don't like no woman that's real, real butchy looking.
Uh-huh.
Like Jerry, I like, because, I don't know, Jerry had a way about her. She still looked feminine even though she was in men's clothes.
She did.
Uh-huh. She still acted as feminine.
Well, that's also a very early relationship for you.
Yeah.
And you could have changed your feelings about things.
But I don't like no real butchy woman. Because I can't see, like I said, why two women can't get dressed up in women's clothes and go out in public and nobody knows what they are.
Yeah. When you were first coming out in the 50s, were most couples into roles? Were most couples butch femme, or were there?
I would say so.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them were that way, yeah.
Yeah.
You could tell what was what, at least by the way they dress, but you don't know what they were once they got in bed. You know.
Do you think it was different for a lot of people when they got in bed?
Oh, yeah, I think so.
Yeah?
Oh, I would say so, yeah.
So that outside stuff was for public.
Yeah, right, for looks probably. Like going into the gay bars and yet for looks.
Why do you think they had to do that?
I really don't know, you know.
I wonder what was so important about looking so different from each other.
Yeah, I don't know either. Now you go to the bar, they all look like butches to me.
Okay, a lot of them look like fans
today. You go in the bar now, you don't even know. I said, I look like butches. You don't see none of them with a dress on. Once in a while, you might see one with a dress on or something feminine. But most of them got butchy clothes. dressed with butchie clothes on, you know, mm-hmm. you don't know which is which, they all look like butches.
That's funny.
They do, don't they?
Well, they all wear pants and stuff, but to me they look pretty feminine. Even the ones I think are butches look real femmy to me.
Do they?
Yeah, a lot of them. I don't see many old-fashioned type butches around.
No, you don't.
It's
right
a different look.
Yeah, you're right about that, because they don't wear their hair real short,
yeah.
like they used to years ago. Well, see, they more or less copy the modern man. Then the man today doesn't wear real short hair no more. He mm-hmm. wears longer hair.
Right.
So they more or less copy that. Maybe if the men wore short hair, maybe they would too.
Yeah. Tell me some stuff about those parties after the bars closed, and you know, like you said, Eileen took you to a lot of different bars. What black bars? Where'd you go?
Oh, we went on Jefferson. Went to Luke's Lounge. Then we went on. That's still there. That's
yeah,
Carlton and Jefferson. And then we went up to High in Jefferson. I don't know the name of it that time. We used to go that far. Then she'd take me on Broadway to the 440 Club. We went there.
What was that? I never heard of it.
This guy Rabbit used to sing there. I don't know if he was gay or straight. He was a sharp-looking black guy, Rabbit. She knew him.
Was that an after-hours club? Or
oh, no. That was a regular bar. Oh, you want to know about the after-hours?
Well, either. Both.
Oh. Well, these Luke's Lounge, them were just straight.
Yeah, I know about Luke's.
Yeah, in the 440 and the other one. But now the after-hours ones, Jerry took me to quite a few. There was one... Used to be one on the William, and now that, I don't know whereabouts, upstairs. We went to that one, then there was another one, and Cherry Street.
Do you know a place named something Reds? Is it Big Reds or...
Oh, Cherry Reds.
Cherry Reds.
That was downtown. It was, I can't remember now whereabouts Cherry Red was. I was up there a couple of times. Black Jan took us up there. Cherry Red.
What was it like at Cherry Red?
Oh, it was a big place, and they had a big bar, and they had booths where you could sit. It was a black place, you know, and...
Was it gay, all gay?
No, it was straight. You know, it was straight, but gay people used to go there.
$8. Uh-huh.
And you could gamble. They had gambling tables.
Okay.
And what was a black run by black. But a few white... kids, gay kids used to go up there, and some black gay kids.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Black Jan took me there. And then, like I said, Jerry took me to the place on Cherry Street, and the one on William. You didn't do nothing but just drink, you know, socialize.
Could you dance?
Oh yeah, you could dance, yeah.
And they didn't mind the gay kids dancing? The gay kids danced with each other?
Oh, yeah. They didn't care.
It was all right.
No. Yeah, they didn't care. They didn't care nothing about that. They were charging a good price for the drinks. They were only interested in the money.
Uh-huh.
You know, they didn't care. They didn't care what you did. But they were run by straight people.
Did Jerry take you to after-hours parties, too?
Oh, yeah. We used to go to Ann Hubbard's. And then, where else did we go? On Monroe Street. I can't think of this other girl. She did parties too. We went up to Jerry. I can't think of her name, but that's where we used to go to other parties with Jerry.
Uh-huh. And did you ever go to parties that were given by this, I think it was a gay guy named Lucky?
Oh, Lucky,
Okay, yeah, that's the one. Did you go to any of his parties too?
Uh-huh. Yeah, once in a while.
And there was another, Lucky and Clydia?
Clydia, yeah.
Who's that?
They were two gay boys that Jerry knew. Lucky LeBaker and Clydia. I don't know his last name.
Don't think of it. All right with me. Lucky and Clydia, two gay guys. Do they live together?
No, they didn't go together, lived together. They were just...
Oh, they had separate parties then?
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
They just met one another.
And there was another woman besides Anne.
Yeah, I can't think of her name. Right offhand. I'd have to think on it.
Somebody else recently told me the name of another woman we get pregnant. I can't remember either. It's not Marie, is it?
No.
The parties that I remember from the 60s were, Eva?
Oh, Eva and Francis.
The Francis that we were talking about? I didn't know
they had to get them together, yeah, in Alcott. Alcott and Northampton.
Okay, what were those years?
Oh, in the early 60s.
Ooh.
Maybe 64, 65. Oh, quite a while. Eva and Francis, they used to get them together.
Well, you remember when Eva moved into the building Eileen was in on the corner of Rhode Island and...
Oh, yeah.
She gave some parties there in that building.
See, she got busted in Ellicott. So that's why she called up Nate and asked him, did he have an apartment? She had to move.
Oh.
In a hurry.
Yeah, I was living there.
Yeah.
Downstairs.
Yeah.
Hurry.
So that's when Nate said, yeah.
Uh-huh.
So... that's why they moved over there in a hurry, Francis and her, because Eva got busted.
I didn't know that was the same Francis who was with her.
Yeah. They used to give the parties together.
I don't even remember Francis being there very much. All I remember is little Willie was there a lot.
Well, Francis used to help her with the food.
Oh. Did she live there with her?
Oh, no, no.
Oh.
Francis lived down the street. And wait a minute. Eva lived in Ellicott. Francis lived in Northampton in Ellicott.
I see.
Yeah, Eva lived in Ellicott, down the street a little way. Francis used to help her with the food.
Okay. And then Eva moved over to the west side.
Yeah, because she got busted. The cops found out about it.
Oh, yeah?
She got busted a couple times. But the last time, she moved to get away from him, because it was the second or third time.
Now, Anne never got busted, did she? Her parties?
I know.
I wonder how come one did and one didn't.
I don't know. Maybe Anne's paying off.
Good.
Somebody, you know.
Yeah, that's possible. So what were those early parties when you went to, like, Anne's and Lucky's and Clydia's and... What were they like?
Oh, you just go there and dance, you know, and drink and socialize. Yeah.
And they had food there?
Yeah. Can buy dinners. You know, you have to pay for everything.
Uh-huh.
You have to pay for your drinks and your food. They serve dinners. You more or less just socialize, you know.
The black kids and white kids got along okay at those parties, too?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Did white kids ever have parties like that?
Not that I know. The white kids never had the after hours party.
Why?
I don't know. I don't know why. I don't know. But the white kids used to go to the after hours parties over on the east side.
Uh-huh.
The black people's
house.
Of course, things were like they are now. You weren't afraid to walk down the street and all that, you know. Me and Eileen, we used to walk from bar to bar, you know, all around. We didn't have no car. We used to walk all up and down Jefferson or over on Sycamore or over to Broadway or William. We used to walk around.
In the 50s when you went to bars, you started out at Bingo. So what other bars did you go to then?
The Carousel and the Chesterfield.
Okay. What were the differences in the bars? Like,
well, the Carousel was, I would say, all gay people. It was for all gay people. And Bingo's was mostly for gay people, but there was a few straight people that would come in there, like older men and that, and the girls would get drinks off, hustle drinks off of them, or like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And Chesterfield was the same way. There were, and mixed in, there was a few prostitutes, you know, like girls turning tricks at Chesterfield and Bingo's, but not the Carousel. Carousel was okay.
So Bingo's,
because some of them girls didn't work. Bingo's used to open up early in Chesterfield in the morning. Some of those girls didn't work. They'd go in early in the morning in the bars and hustle these guys, you know, these men.
Well, that, we know about the Chesterfield for that kind of business, but I'm a little surprised to hear about Bingo's. Would girls go in there and hustle guys? Were there enough guys at Bingo's to get hustled?